The Backdoor GA podcast for 2023 is now brought to you by Steed Motor Group. For your personalized vehicle shopping experience, visit steedmotorgroup.ie. We are now delighted to announce our second sponsor of the podcast. Harper Finlay are a professional service recruitment company operating nationwide and are dedicated to helping people find their dream job.
So joined now by Sir Verrill and Gregory O'Kane to look ahead to Galway versus Antrim this weekend in the Leinster Senior Hurling Championship. Gregory, just coming to you first, it was a fantastic year for yourself and Dunloy last year, making it all the way to the All-Ireland Final.
Yeah, look, we had a good year. We got over, I suppose, it was a tough Antrim Championship. And in a way, you know, it prepared as well for a tough Ulster campaign. And obviously for ourselves, getting past Slapneil, they've dominated Ulster hurling, as everybody knows, this last few years. So I felt once we get out of Ulster, it was really like the team was ready to kick on again. And obviously we had a great 1-0 in semi-final against a good team like St. Thomas's. And in the final, we probably just came up short, 6, 7, 8 minutes to go. We had a few chances and dropped a few balls short. And sure, look, a team like Ballyhale, if you keep them in the game, they know how to see it out.
Have you been able to watch back the final a few times since?
Yeah, I've watched it a few times. And look, you know, it's on the day, as everyone knows. You have to take your chances. And I suppose that's what makes Ballyhale such a brilliant club side. They have a wonderful ability to sort of to seize the moment in big games. And their players always do the right thing at the right times. And look, they haven't won 6 All-Ireland club titles, you know, for nothing. And sure, it was a great experience for us as a team, as a young team, as developing. And it was fantastic to play at that level.
Do you feel your own success in getting all the way to the final, do you feel that has helped Antrim Hurling?
Yeah, well, look, this is what, our fourth year in Division 1. So that can only be good. It can only be good for clubs. It can only be good for players to get the exposure, you know, at the highest level. And then what they do is, say you have 2, 3, 4 lads in the county panel and they're playing Division 1. And they're bringing that experience, that setup back into their clubs. So it's inevitable that the club will learn and progress from that as well.
Saying there's Donal Cusack. He was just talking about hurling and the state it's in at the minute. Did you agree with a lot of comments he said on this?
Well, some of them, yeah. Definitely we need, you know, you need to promote hurling, and there's no doubt about that. And missing the big games, like, you know, down the country, like, you know, the reception is great, and the circle keeps coming the whole time. But like, you can see what they're trying to do. And I wouldn't agree with everything you say. Like, you can't be comparing. Like, you should have left the football over, like, because we have our own grades in hurling as well. We have the Lowry Maher, the Nicky Racker, the Joe McDonough playing at their own levels. The same with football. It isn't the thing of hurling versus football. It's to promote hurling. But if you go down the thing out of the road of one versus the other, that's completely, you know, wrong to me. Like, that's the wrong way to tackle it. But I know where he's coming from, like, you know, and it's kind of a shock down the country when you can't, everyone seems to think you can get all the games when you can't. But now look at Diego are doing a lot of them. But it's just, to me, I thought that it'd go to TG Cahill because they were doing it before anyone was doing, you know, the games. But look at, that's the way it is. And we have to kind of live with it, and probably, like, you know, it's probably going to stay that way. Now, there will be a lot of games covered, but Donal was getting that, like, you can see hurling, instead of being spread, it's, what is there, 11, 12 counties kind of really involved, that's all.
And just on that, because we're obviously talking here about Galway and Antrim in the Leinster Senior Hurling Championship, have you enjoyed, sir, the Leinster Championship so far?
It's competitive. It's not as strong as Munster. We're still very competitive. And like for ourselves and Antrim, like that, from the outside, look, it's great to be getting the games, and you're getting a great chance. Like, you're getting a chance to qualify. There's 3 to qualify, which gives you a great chance. And you're playing at the top level as much, which lads, I remember my time, Paul, you get one game, and if you're beating the pint, you're gone to the following August. There's 12 months in between a game. You had to start it over again. Whereas now, like, it's great. If I was a hurler now or over team, I'd love it because you get a great chance to build a team, and they're all fairly competitive now.
Just on that, Gregory, Antrim's campaign so far, is it fair to say that Antrim probably did target that first game against Dublin in the first round? They looked like they had won. Dublin came back, clawed it back. And then the following round to Wexford, defeat there, and Kilkenny just proving too strong for Antrim and Corrigan. Is there a bit of disappointment around Antrim now that it is only 1 point after three games, or what's the kind of mood like?
Yeah, well, I would find like there would be a trend there, right? Say with the Antrim, Salishas, the Westmeath, say all the counties that are fighting fires, you know, to compete at the top level. And you'll find, like, particularly in the championships, there's really only one, two possibly big performances because one is small squads. We wouldn't have the backup, the Galways, the Clares, you know, the Munster teams, the Kilkennys. So you'll see that throughout the championship. And it's sort of been a trend that there's only really two big performances. There's no doubt Dublin at home, the first round, was a game we could and probably should have seen out at the end. And funny enough, I was down at the Wexford game then shortly after that. And only for the first 20 minutes where Wexford seemed to come really out of the traps. Antrim matched them stride for stride that day. And probably paid the price. I think we lost Sean Elliott to a groin injury. We lost Campbell, our centre-back, Owen Campbell, to a foot injury. And a few other lads carrying heavy knocks. So I felt going into the Kilkenny game whereby, one, we'd sort of given the Dublin a huge shift, and then obviously we give Wexford a huge shift, and we didn't really have the backup, and we maybe were short in the tank what we had for a team like Kilkenny coming down the straight.
What's been your own view on Antrim, sir?
Yeah, I think they've improved a ton. They've come on and they've got strong. Like, you know, like as Gregory says there, maybe the backup, that's where they're probably lacking. But like as regards the first 15, 16 or 17, they're very good. If you look at their team, like McGarry fullback, good fullback, Campbell's good and tough in the centre, like midfield, McNaughton, good player. But up front, to me, they're as good as anyone up front. Now, I thought Kieran Malloy usually would play, I see him playing club midfield, he's centre forward, but the two boys each side of them, it's a good half forward line, and they have a really, really dangerous forward line in Cunningham, McManus, and what's that, Johnston. Like, they're good hurlers. They're as good as you're going to get. And as Gregory says, if they stay on the pitch, they'll be a match for anyone. It's when they get kind of injured, they can run out of steam. And like, they're a tough look the first day against Dublin, and even the last day against Kilkenny, like, I know they're well beaten, but 3-20 against Kilkenny, it's a good score. Like, I know Gaul, we'd have a few lads in the panel and just chat them, like, at the under-20 match tonight. They're treating the Antrim game with caution because they know, like, Antrim forwards, like, especially the forwards, they'll cause you trouble and they have pace. And they'll run the ball through and get good scores. Like, they're putting up good scores. Like, you know, it's a big game for Antrim, but it's big for Gaul as well in the sense that we were at home and we'd be expecting to win the home matches. That's, you have to nearly win your home matches to kind of qualify.
Do you still very much see it, Cyril, as when you're, as it's coming close now to the Leinster final, do you still think it is between Galway and Kilkenny, or do you still, do you expect?
Well, Paul, that'd be the view on the outside, but like, you know, you just can't trust these games. Like, for example, like you look at Wexford now, they're fighting for their lives. They're going to beat Westmeath, or should anyway. So then they have Kilkenny at home. But like Kilkenny at home, like Wexford, having Kilkenny at home, Wexford and Kilkenny is a bit like Clare and Limerick. The form goes out the window. Like people forget last year, Wexford had to get a win against them above Nolan Park and they got it. Now the form at the moment, you'd say Kilkenny would win it, but there is no guarantee. You know, Dublin are on, what are they on? Was it, they have Galway left to play and they have Kilkenny left. And if they don't win the two matches, like it's going to be very tight for that third spot. Now, I'm assuming that Galway are good enough and Kilkenny are good enough to beat Dublin. To me, they should be good enough. Now, maybe they won't, but I think they will. And I think, like, Dublin have their pints got that they're going to get.
Do you very much see it between Galway and Kilkenny, Gregory, for a Leinster final spot?
Yeah, look, back to what I was saying there, like they probably have the strongest panels. Like, that day they played Antrim. Like Kilkenny substitutes, like every one of them had you know, bags of All Irelands, you know, All Stars, hurlers of years. Like you know, they were bringing Richie Hogan off the bench. They brought Killian Buckley, Walter Welsh. You know, very, very strong bench, Andy Lochte have a real good panel, you know, built up for a big assault down the line. So, like, and what we've seen so far, I still think that Kilkenny and Galway are far more in the tank, and I think it's an Ulster final, a bit, and being honest, and then it is a shoe, and then Wexford with their home game, and the Sir says, like, them and Kilkenny is a derby, so like the third spot will really be really tight, and will come down to sort of probably the last game. But I would definitely say Kilkenny and Galway are out in front, and the shoe in for the Ulster final.
Sir, going on Galway, it's obviously a huge game there, as you mentioned, at home, and they're going to treat it with caution this weekend. But what's impressed you most about Galway in the Championship early on so far?
Well, they haven't really opened up yet, but like, they are very, very good hurlers. And at the moment now, they're playing Garage McInerney fullback and Dahi Box centre-back. And it seems to work. Well, it's their kind of fluency. They're given the 20 or 30-yard passes with the stick, hard enough to control when they get going. And Cathal Mannin has come back into the fold. Parik Mannin is playing well again. And even their, like, Greg was referring there to the substitutes. Like, to me now, they have a stronger bench this year than last year. And, like, the boys are telling me that in training, like, the 15 sides have been very competitive. It's hard actually to make the goal with 26 at the moment. You have all those good lads that won't make the 26. Now, you'd have an odd injury too. Like the last day, they had 26 togged without the likes of Tom Annan and Conor Cooney, who would be on the 26 if not on the 15. You know, so like that's a, you know, these guys, they're that bit stronger, that little bit older. Like, and it's, the time is moving on. Like the Joseph Cooneys, the Gareth McInerneys, the Dahi Box, the two men, it's like, they soon have to try. Like, the time for winning All-Ireland is soon running out unless they get one. Like, to me, this is a very big year for them.
Can you see them winning the All-Ireland this year?
I could. You know, like, they're not too far off. Okay, and people are saying Limerick are there to kind of have them a shoe in already. But, like, the Munster hurling looks very, very strong. But, like, Paul, it looks strong and it is strong, but it's completely different when you're playing a Leinster team in Croke Park. I put this to you, that the Clare Limerick match is a fantastic game. Real, tough, hard, honest, old-style hurling. Hip to hip, whip to hip, let it fly. But if that match was played in Croke Park, even with the same referee, you'd have a different game. You know what I mean? It'd be a different game played in Croke Park. It's just a different kind of, you know, the Championship, when it gets out to that semi-final spot, it's a different ball game altogether.
I don't know, have you seen much of Galway this year, Gregory, but is there anything that stood out early on the season from a Galway perspective for you?
Yeah, well, it was interesting because you felt that Galway, and particularly Henry, they only done enough in the league. So it was obviously, you know, they had April, May and June in their sights to down the line. And you would feel that Galway, just what Serge are saying, they've been really building the panel. And I felt they used the league for that, to build the panel. And they just got enough out there. They just got out of the league basically what they wanted out of it. And two, like Henry will have seen, you know, in year one. And then obviously he'll have learned a lot. So I feel he's come in a really good position himself in year two. Plus then, like, the players will have seen, you know, what he's about as well. So, like, a lot of experience in that Galway team, but also a lot of legs and a lot of youth. And a lot of fantastic players. So, like, that spine alone, like, at the end of the day, the spine is the key, you know, to go on and win in All-Ireland. And I couldn't agree with certain more. I was at the Limerick-Galway game last year. And, like, I would say probably Limerick subs had a huge impact when they came on. And for Bays, Galway's impact sub just hadn't the impact on the game. And I felt that was the only difference last year in Northern semi-final. And Galway will know how close they were to Limerick last year in Northern semi-final in Croke Park.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there, Gregory. In actual fact, our subs had no impact at all. Impact. Whereas, to be fair, Limerick did. Like, you know, you could nearly say he'd be as well off if he didn't take them off. But he had to go, but like, they just didn't do it. I think this year, like, he's searched far and wide in the, what you call, the Welsh Cup early on in the leagues. Like, he was bringing lads left, right and centre, and they were getting their chance, and they were getting the chance in in-house games as well. A lot of them are still there. The good 36 or 40, I say, there the whole time.
Just, sir, we've seen younger players get the chance early on, and it's safe to say Liam Collins is really grabbing his opportunity at the minute. With the form Liam Collins is in, do you still see him continuing in this goal at 15?
I wouldn't see him starting now. He's a lovely hurler, but like, he just hasn't physique yet. Lovely player. What he has, Paul, is he's lovely. If you ever see him footwork, he has kind of balanced left and right. But I wouldn't see him starting yet, because like, the championship is a tough spot. Like, if you're on the likes, say, of, you know, the set of Limerickbacks, McCarthy fullback. Now, I know Sean Finn is kind of here at the moment, but these guys, Jim Reporters, these guys, you have to have physique. Like, you'll be blown out of it, like, if you just can't win your own ball. I would see him coming on when the play is broken up, but not otherwise. In actual fact, I saw his brother the other night, and I was just saying to the boys in the match this evening, he's forgotten about it. He's older now than that
Lee. Ryan Collins, yeah.
Yeah, he's very good now. He's playing over his skin for the club, and he's kind of forgotten about it. He's still there in the background. There's a lot of lads around in Galway that haven't kind of made it or got the chance that if there are other places, they might make it, you know.
That has been the thing, Gregory, as you were talking there about Galway using the league. They definitely have found these younger players, the likes of Liam Collins and Declan McLaughlin, who are really adding that competition in attack.
Yeah, as I say, like, back to what I was saying earlier, where Henry will have found out a lot last year in that semi-final, and maybe he felt as if the bench wasn't as strong as it could have been. Now, he know, and everybody know, like Galway will always have 15. There's absolutely no doubt about there, who are good enough to play with anybody. But the way the game's gone, it's so intense now, so physical, and it's so much contact in it. So an intercounty game lasts now the best part of 40 minutes. So, like, the players themselves are probably fatiguing in the game. So the key will be to, you know, is the five subs. And if you look at Limerick subs, because Limerick is a benchmark at the end of the day, that Limerick subs always have an impact in big games, and they're always contributing 2, 3, 4 points to see the game out. So, like, that's, I would say, that is the area that Henry has want to improve on the most, because he'll know, like, Galway have a serious spine, very, very, very experienced, all earning medals in their back pocket with clubs, with the county. So their spine is as good as anybody's, you know, full-back, centre-back, and right through the pitch. And it's that four or five key players that can come into a game and really hit the ground running. And I feel that's where the game, and that's where Galway will want to improve on.
Yeah, Gregory, to prove your point, the last time that Galway happened to win, the two subs, and think I'm right, Niall Burke came on and got 2 points, Jason Flynn came on and got 2 points and was fouled. You know, they were all vital. I know Donny came on, but that was 4 scores. That was the difference. Yeah. Like, that didn't happen last year. Like, and you know, that's, as you say, Henry, there's no doubt about it. He'd be searching for the impact subs, really. That's the big thing, like, you know.
Darryl, just from Galway's 3 opening games in the Leinster Championship, they've scored 9 goals. And maybe in the past, Galway haven't been predominantly scored points, but you feel, obviously, to beat this Limerick team, you're going to have to score goals. Has that been probably the most pleasing thing from a Galway perspective?
I'd say from Henry's perspective, it has. Now, look at the goals. Some days are coming, more days they won't. And I'd be always saying goals win matches. And yet, like, Limerick are winning All-Irelands with no goals, if you know what I mean. Like, to play the way the modern game has gone, like, to play goals, you have to walk it in and you have to be inside. Most, like, as Greg will tell you there, the modern game, like, is they're playing it very short. It's all possession. And, like, the full back line to me in the modern game is they're spoiled, because you have 3 in the full back line, and the most you're going to have up front is maybe 2 or 1.5, if you know what I mean. There's never 3 up there. Now, I noticed in the last game or two that Clare, in particular, in their minor team and under 20, they led a lot long one in with 3 up there. I'm looking forward today that some county team will go for broke and play 3 on the inside, even for 10 or 15 minutes, and let the ball in, let the ball do the work, rather than working it up the hole through the lines. And that's perfect when it works, but when it breaks down, then that's how you have all the rooks. So, like, even though they're way fitter than before, and their skill is fantastic, and the ball is lovely, a bit lighter, but it's probably not the game isn't faster, because the ball will travel faster than the men. So everything is possession now. So all down the ball, lay it off. But that's the way it has gone. Like, you know, it'd be interesting when someone go for broke someday in a big game.
Do you see the game the same way at the minute, Gregory?
Yeah, well, look, if you look at it last year, right? So, like, the current hurler of the year is Dermot Burns at wing back. Outside of him was Nash, and they're the two players last year. So, like, Burns contribute, like, on the scoreboard massively. So if you look at it, he's shooting from outside. So really now, county teams, they're getting so many. The half-back line is getting that split second on the ball. So really, they're prepared to shoot points from the outside and be patient. And Limerick, the type of team, can shoot 30-odd points. probably the same, to be fairness to them, and they're always contributing. So, like, you would find now the shooting zones are probably farther out the pitch, and then obviously the modern day game, two inside forward line and one man drifting out to midfield or really having a free role, and they're always fighting against sort of three and four back. So at times the goals is simply not on, and you find teams as just peppering teams from outside the scorers on.
That's Gregory's correct in all that there, Paul. Like that's actually what's happening. Like they're walking around in a kind of the D outside of 55, 60 yards, and they're prepared to take the shots. And that's why, like, Limerick are winning big matches with no goal, and they hardly get a shot at times, but they're quite prepared, maybe an odd one, to do that, because they are good to work around outside, and they give it to the best shooter, and they're all, like, shooting for 65, 70 yards. And Gregory Ferrier, the wing-backs coming up and slotting them over, like, you know, it's all the backs can do is look up at it, but you have to get a lot of them. There's no doubt about it. If you've got a few goals against Limerick, to give you a great chance, but it's hard to break them down. They are the benchmark the whole time.
That's really, sir, where you're, like, as Gregory was talking there about Dermot Burns, but you're nearly relying now on your half back line to come forward and get your scores to contribute.
Yeah, well, it means that the half forward line have to work very, very hard. That if the half back line advance, the half forward line have to come with them. You know, you just can't let someone else pick it up. It's all about work rate. And, you know, you can't let them break up. Like Kyle Hayes might get the ball and power up the feed. You can't just let them do that. You have to meet them, put them out over the sideline. You just can't let them run. Whether they're two or three against Galway, come up two or three times along the touchline. Three, can be put up into the stand with a rattle, but he wasn't. You're going to have to put your body. Yeah, playing Limerick, Paul, you'd have to put your body on the line to stop the. Now they have the hurlers as well, but they're very, very strong, greatly tuned, great physique, and they're prepared to kind of walk through, legally, like to walk through. So you have to take the hits.
And Cyril, on the shape of the Galway forward line at the minute, like where do you see it? Because if you look at the Westmeath game, you had Conor Whelan, Colin Mannion and Brian Kincannon in that half-forward line. But Kincannon and Whelan predominantly have played the hurling for Galway inside. Obviously, you have Conor Cooney and Tom Monaghan. There could be options there as well. Like, where do you see the shape of that half-forward line?
What they usually do is, wherever Colin Mannion is picked, let him be picked wing or corner or centre, he won't be there. He'd do what Gregory's saying, he'd float around outside. Now, the top teams will probably pick him up. They're not going to let him float around and pick up because he's very good on the loose ball. So that would mean that the likes of Conor Cooney would be central forward. Like, you know, you can't. Nyland will be on. He's a very good free taker, good sharp shooter. Now, he wouldn't be under the high ball. So, you know, with the likes of Fintan Burke coming into shape, if he was wing back, if come on and came back into midfield, you could even see the likes of Joseph Cooney going up in the half hour line, far the puck outs. Galway have an exceptional goalie. I think he's come under the radar, like people didn't realise. He's very good keeper, but he's fantastic puck outs. He's able to spin the ball, change your hand, or put it into space. Like, he's gone into a different level. The other counties that start studying, because he's kind of come under the radar. He's getting away with all, like, he's spinning it everywhere, and he's very good at it. He's a big cog to Galway at the moment now. Like, and he puck outs into the hand over the bar, puck outs into space. He's dictating. He's kind of a director of the orchestra, very, very much so. Now, the boys up front, they're all good hurlers, I suppose, but just might have to fight a little bit more when they go and get stuck for their own ball, because they can't expect the goalie to hold them to pin every ball. Because, you know, like Gregory tell you pin a ball, say, to a wing forward or a wing back, and he drops it, the poor old goalie gets blamed. The head out the field mightn't get blamed at all. But this guy, Andy Murphy, he's on a different level at the moment. To me, he's gone to a high level. Like, and to me, he's fierce and part of the goal. They have a good sub-goalie, but he's a goalie, he'll block it and he'll hit it out, but he hasn't the quality of another fella, if you know what I mean.
That's interesting, sir. So you obviously would work with Aidan Murphy at club level with Tommy Larkins.
Yeah, he's just different. He's you could play him out the field. He has a twin brother that's very good too, appendix out with fell back a bit coming again, but he is very good. He's just different. Most goalies are a bit different anyway, but if you want to be real good, like, this guy is exceptional, I think, you know.
Is there anything you've seen him do that's brought him to this level within the club?
He was always that way. Like, he just had this ability to do impossible things, you know. But, like, he's... What day was it last year against? Was it Kilkenny or someone? He hit a soft goal. Like, a goal he felt he should have blocked. And most goalies, they hit the hurl off the ground or give out to the backs. He just picked up quick a ball that he had by the post himself and poked it out to with Tom Bonner that was on his own. And Pamanan just turned around, he threw a wing forward over the bar. Like, he got away with a quick pickup. But, like, most goalies, when they hit in, it's kind of the one that is fed, they should have blocked. that kind of react, kind of that stop and kind of look around. But this guy straight away, like, he's just, you know, it's hard to beat him. It's just that confidence. Like at the moment now, he's playing to me, the best hurling he ever played.
And Gregory, what's the mood like in Antrim making the trip to Salt Hill this weekend?
Yeah, my gut feeling is right. It's probably be the game that Antrim at this stage will want to get out of the way. How strong we can feel for that game, I'm not sure with the niggles and the knocks they have, right? But the Galway game, sort of like being realistically, Antrim's not going to get a lot out of the Galway game this weekend. So they're probably in the Westmeath mode already, because at the end of the day, that's going to be a huge game for Antrim and Westmeath. And it'll be key for Antrim to maintain their Liam McCarthy status. So I would find, personally, I would rather have the Galway game probably second game in, and then probably say like had a home game and then go to Westmeath. So like it's hard to see Antrim getting anything out of this weekend, particularly away to Galway. So I would find it's going to be a hard weekend for Antrim, and even psychologically, where the players will be, you would hope they would go there and die with their boots on. But I feel this will be the hardest game for Antrim now in the Leinster Championship today.
Gregory, will they come down the evening before the match or what? Little?
Yeah, they're traveling down. Yeah, they're traveling down the day before, and they're going to stay down. Funny enough, I was talking to a few of the boys there last week at the end, so they said they were planning their weekend and they were heading down the day before the game. So like that'd be good, you know, to get them down early, yeah. Because they travelled down to funny enough, you mentioned that, sir. They travelled down to Wexford the morning of the game, and stayed that evening. And you know, the first 15 minutes, you could nearly have seen it in the legs, because that's where Wexford really got a yard on us. So that said, probably maybe learned their lesson in that regard.
And what will Antrim look for this weekend? You talked there that a victory is probably not likely, but what do you feel they're going to look for out of this goal again?
Yeah, well, I find Darren Gleeson will be in a hard place too, right, and the selectors, because say a lad there, say Campbell or Chanel, say there's a maybe chance they could play this week. But on the other hand, because Campbell's fantastic hurler, he's captain, he's our centre back, right? So like say he's declared fit this, say Thursday night we're training and he's fit, right? And then the conundrum will be for Antrim, do we risk him? And the risk of losing him against Westmeath, you know what I mean? So there'll be all them sorts of scenarios going on this weekend. So like I would find if he can go there this weekend, put in a really, really good performance, and then come out a bit fit and healthy, and then obviously get freshened up and Westmeath the following weekend, as much as I would say Antrim will get out of this weekend, if I'm being brutally honest.
And sir, yeah,
the performance, like winning or losing for Antrim, the performance will be the big one, as long as they perform for their own sake, like, you know.
Yeah.
Is Westmeath, do you feel it's already on the minds of the players? You talked there about Lee McCarthy's status wanting to stay up. Obviously, they're going to need a victory against Westmeath to stay up, just with the situation that they were to lose this, they're on 1 point. Do you feel that's on the back of the players' minds already?
Well, I don't know about the Edmonton's mind, but I know it's on Westmeath's mind, because like against Galway, they had 2 or 3 injuries. The good, fairly good Dials and these as were injured, or they didn't chance them. They were looking, I'd say they're thinking of the Antrim game. That's their kind of, we call it All Ireland. Like to me now, Antrim are a nice bit better than Westmeath, you know, and Antrim are as good as anyone, like on the day. I would, you know, to me they've improved a ton. Their hurling is good, like, and they're very comfortable on the ball, as good as anyone. So as Bertie says, maybe the backup, but like if a day came that they held everyone like fit and didn't run into any injuries, that they're as good as anyone, you know. And like I was delighted to hear Galway saying, the lads I was talking to saying that the bit of, you know, the coaching they were doing and went through videos, that they're treating it as a serious game, because it's one they could get caught in. But definitely I think if they have injuries, they'll keep them for the Westmeath game.
It's important, Gregory, as well for Antrim, and as a man who's involved in Antrim hurling, I'm sure you just don't want the danger of being a yo-yo team going from Joe Mack to the Leinster Championship.
Yeah, and I think that that's been the beauty of the National League, where we have, you know, had our consistency, and then we've been in Division One now this last 3 years consistently, and this going into next year's our fourth year. So like, that has been massive. And two, like, we talk about there the exposure of Antrim hurling, like, because of the geography, and we're so far north, like, to get a Kilkenny, like, and you have to take clap, you know, a county like Kilkenny, like, they're up in Belfast the last day, full strength, and just typical Kilkenny, roll their sleeves up, and they never would question where the game's at or not, and they come and play like Kilkenny do. So like, what I'm saying is, to get the Dublins in Belfast, to get Kilkenny in Belfast, and all the top teams throughout the league, like, that's massive for exposure and getting young ones and keeping the game sort of, you know, a high standard in Antrim. So like, Division One was brilliant. Great crowds at the game, great atmosphere, and as I said, huge volume of kids, and like, it's just massive for hurling in general. You know what I mean? For us as a county.
Yeah, Paul, I would think like Antrim are there to stay in Division One. They've become very, very solid. Like, no one, we call them the bigger counties. Like, there's no one taking for granted anymore. That day is gone. Like, they say we're going to have an easy game throughout. That's against them. That's gone. You can't do that. There's no way you get away with it. I think they'll consolidate, and they, like, as Greg, next year will be their fourth year in it. I think they're going to be there the whole time, because if they had any one or two coming through at all, but they have the groundwork done, and they're improving every year, and they're extremely hard to beat.
Do you think for Galway this week, sir, your talk there about how the players are treating this as a very serious challenge, and St. Thomas's players will even be aware of this after what Gregory's Dunloy side did to them, but for Galway, is it about putting this game to bed as quick as possible?
They'll try that, but I don't think they'll be able. I think it'll go down to the wire. Galway will be delighted to get out of the pipe if they can win. They'll be delighted to get it over, because, like, you know, it's a dangerous game. Yeah, and Thomas will know well. There's a lot of Thomas lads on the panel now. Princeton Burke has kind of come back in, team who's injured, but David Burke is injured, but you have Conor Cooney in there. You have, you know, there's a few more kind of on the fringes, but they'll know well. Like, they have now, David Burke has a cruciate, but to me, they've done the right thing. They've held on to him because he's a great leader, and he'd to read the game, and he'd be good in the dress, some say, in the weeks beforehand. Like, he's still in there, and he knows well, like, what Antrim can do, like, you know, like. The club, their club structure is very good, and they're very good teams. They'll hold their own with anyone, and I'm expecting a ferocious match the weekend, because I don't see, like, some Galway supporters might think about Antrim, that day is gone. You know, they're going to be competitive no matter who they play. And even their 3-20 against Kilkenny to beat a lot of teams.
What kind of game are you expecting at the weekend then, sir?
Well, playing Antrim, like, it's like, oh, they won't set up too defensively. Like, they'll try to play an open game. They have very good forwards. I expect it to be high scoring enough, because both like to attack. Galway really like to attack as well. They don't play extra lads back. Okay, if someone plays, say, a sweeper, or they call it a 6-1 now against them, they'll wind up with a sweeper then. But Galway's kind of hurling. Their identity is attacking, kind of fluent hurling. And Antrim is the same, really. Like, it's very hard in hurling to keep defending, and okay, again, defend, but it's very hard to hold the score down. Even hurling, because as Greg referred to there, even if you don't score from inside, you can score from outside. All you can do is look up at it, like, you know. So you have to come out of your box, like, and it'll be an open game. I think it'll be an open game.
And sir, just from the looking at the Galway team to play against Westmeath, would you expect to see many changes now this weekend?
Well, you see, Tom Allen would be on the team if he was fit. You know, he did a grind. And Conor Cooney would be on as well if he was fit. So that's two. They weren't even on the 26 the last day. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's hard to even to get on that 26. You know what I mean? The way it is going, like, there's this fierce fight for positions. If they're fit, they'll be back on. Because Gregory, or I'd say Henry would like to play his championship team. Like, I'd see both of them on if they're fit, like, you know. And if they're not sure, they'll be coming on. And that makes the panel actually stronger, like. Yeah, but to me, you know, I think he'll go out. Whatever the strongest team he has, I'd expect him to go out if they're all fit. Like,
what area, Gregory, for you is concerning from an Antrim perspective that Galway have that strength that maybe they mightn't just cope with at the weekend?
Yeah, well, just general Galway's overall strength. You know, I mean, like there's so many players, there's so many quality players, and so many options. So in that regard, you know, they're always strong. And it's sort of like how Antrim can set up, and two, how strong a team they get on the pitch. Now, that said, young Ryan McMullen come on against Wexford, a young lad from the 20s out of Lochiel, and Paul O'Boyle. Now, whether Hammers forced that day or not, they come on and did really, really well. So what I'd be looking for, and there's a lad there from our own club, Owen O'Neill, who hasn't featured much in the game, but going really well. So like, you would hope if Antrim can get those three players on the pitch this weekend, perform really, really well. And then obviously then would add something else to the team. So like, I would say Darren will probably have to gamble this weekend with two or three lads and just really see where they're at. But like, looking forward to a good game. But at the same time, I expect Galway to be very, very strong and come out of the blocks very sharp.
Are you heading down at the weekend, Gregory?
Yeah, look, you know, I've rarely missed any of the games. Sure, it's Galway, Kilkenny, Wexford, Dublin. Like, sure, it's just fantastic to be, you know, getting those games week in and week out. And sure, it's brilliant for them to be in the late McCarthy. And it's fantastic, you know.
Just on Antrim's matchups at the weekend, like, who are you expecting to pick up now, Conor Whelan and Ryan Cannon at the weekend?
I would feel Ryan McGarry has had a super, super campaign with the club, and he's brought that into the county. Really, really good game the last day against Kilkenny. Struggled in the first 10-15 minutes with O'Callaghan from Dublin, who very, very good player. And really come to terms with it. So I would expect Paddy Burke and Ryan McGarry then to pick up one Conor Whelan and then the other danger man. So normally that's been the form, and then obviously getting Campbell sitting in front if he's fit, you know, or Jared Wells.
Do you expect them just to play with Campbell sitting there, or do you think there might be more bodies back to try and contain this forward unit?
Well, look, he two options. Like, the what teams are doing now, they're nearly flooding the 45s and just going man and man at the back, and at the same time then trying to curtail the ball going in. So if the ball's going in, it's 50-50, then you would trust in your half-back then to be back in the breaks and stuff like that there. But like, particularly in Munster, like, it's load the 245s and one or two men inside and take the breaks off that there. So like, and can play three in midfield, can play four in midfield, but try and congest that area and look, sit tight, you know, to the first period of the game, and then try and work our way into the game, because like, our scoring ratio has been very, very good, and we're averaging 25 scores per day, and you know, losing games. Like, can you imagine 3-4 years ago saying that Day and Daly and Antrim team is going to consistently score 24, 25, 26, 27 scores and get beat? So like, it shows how much the game's moved on. And two, like, it's hard to know now what good defending is, because like, nearly every player on the pitch now is looking to score. So like, yeah, you're saying, geez, the lad played well, but you know what? We can say that about 3-19 or 2-25. So like, it's really hard to know now what good defending is and what it hasn't been honest, you know, at inter-county level, because the ball's just continuously zipping up and down the park, and scores have been created and balls going over the bar.
Yeah, sure. As you know, Gregory, as well, now, like, numbers don't matter anymore. Like, your number two could be brought full forward. You don't know what, you know. Yeah. But I think myself, if Owen Campbell can't play, he'll be a terrible loss to Antrim now, because he's kind of the anchor of that defense. He's playing, and if he's able to play, like, but if he can't, he'd be a savage loss.
On that as well, just looking at the Antrim team that Searle played against Kilkenny, he had Neil McManus at 14, Cunning at 11. Going by that, you're looking at Di Burke to pick up Conall Cunning and then probably Gareth McNairy on to Neil McManus.
Yeah, well, like, you see, going back so physically strong, but the one thing now they're lacking a good bit, you know, Paul, you know, to me anyway, is real pace. Now, they're very fit, but they're not fast, if you know what I mean. Now, Gareth McInerney, great warrior. Dahi Burke to me, be able to play fullback without a hurl, if you know what I mean. Such, he's kind of a good pooper, as they know it, but Dan catch you with his body. But, you know, Fintan Burke, great hurler, good under the ball, but not no real pace. Like, Antrim, to me, will carry the ball. If they get it, they'll come kind of, you know, work a little hand pass run through, and Galway will not like that. They both prefer to kind of play, you know, kind of let the ball come in rather than the men coming with the ball. Like, that's the one thing to me that we that Galway lacking as a team. You know, I know they've been working on it, but sometimes you get you can get as fit as you like, but if you haven't that pace, you haven't got it, no matter what kind of fitness you have.
There has been competition there in that full back line, adding to it. TJ Brennan's took his chance this year, Cyril. Darren Morrissey came in the last day, Jack Grealish didn't start. So there definitely is competition for those two cornerback places.
Yeah, well, there's really three for two. You see, Jack got a roasting against young old Cody. Cody got 6 points from playing a couple of frees. Well, they were all scores. So, like, it was, you know, the mystery was how he was left on against Kilkenny, not dropped the last day, like, because he just wasn't doing, like, he's, you know, he has pace, but, like, he's kind of got off form. But Morrissey doesn't weaken the team. TJ Brennan took his chance. Well, TJ had a great university campaign with University of Limerick, and he played very, very well fullback, and he's kind of nailed down a corner. Like, there's three for two, really, there. The two boys alternate, McInerney and Dahi Burke. And outside, like, you had Joe Cooney wing back, and you had, Dahi Burke centre back. Another wing back team was Parik Manning. But now Fintan Burke has come back from fitness, so you have another wing back. Like, that's four for three. Now, midfield hasn't been that strong, really. It has kind of been a hard place enough to really get on top. There's places there for players. But other than that, I'd say there's 12 or 13 positions nailed down, whatever about midfield.
Do you see midfield as Joseph Cooney there with Keenan Barry or Tom Monaghan?
Yeah, Keenan Fahey wasn't great the last, you know, either. He's a good hurler, was kind of a stiff hurler, if you know. Much better face the ball wing back than midfield, I think. But like, as Gregory referred to there, the midfield thing now is a pure minefield, because there's so many out there. You could be a brilliant midfield hurler and not even get the ball. It could pass you by in the sense there's so many bodies, you know, like it's there's bodies tacked in everywhere. That's the modern game, and they're all on the, you know, the trackers, and you're getting the tackles in, and, you know, all the rest, like, so. It's a hard place to play out there. The old style modern midfield, where you've had to float up and down and clip lovely scores, like, or got lovely ball, that's kind of gone. You have to work hard, go through the tackle, lay it off, go again. You know, so it's a new game out there, really, for the last few years anyway.
Ultimately, Gregory, do you just see Galway having too much and pushing on in the final quarter of this game?
Yeah, well, I feel Galway's subs will have, you know, Galway will finish. What I'm saying is, Galway has a capability to finish the game as strong as they can start the game. For boys, that might be our Achilles heel with a few knocks, because then obviously we're going to really have to go into reserves, and then the quality then goes down, because you're just relying on young players who are not, like, it probably takes, what, 2-3 years now, maybe four, to build an intercounty hurler in terms of physicality, experience, and like, you just find when you get good young talent on, well, that cycle really begins, and then you're looking to build them over 2-4 years, because that's nearly what it takes now to build your intercounty hurler. And if you look at all the top teams, like, they're also physically developed and strong, but they're also a certain age. So, like, that you look at Jack Morris this year, for example. He would have been in and around them Sheedy's teams. But look at the player he is now. And that's just took him 2-4 years to get to that level. And now he's a fully developed intercounty player. So, like, that's where you'd find where the young lads sort of, when you get them into the panel, say, from the 20s and so on, it just takes that process to get them up to speed and up to physicality, the demands of the game.
Yeah, Paul, Gregory's all right there, because we had a few lads to like, so. Say young Nyland, Evan Nyland and Tom Allen, they're 4 or 5 or 6 years in the panel before they actually made the team. It's only now that they're actually making it fully, that it isn't that easy going from under. You can go in all right, but it takes a good while to make it.
Yeah, it's a valid point there when you consider those players. It's taken them that long. Sometimes people on the outside probably don't realise that.
People on the outside think they're new. They're not. They're a good while. Yes, the boys. Yeah. You know, they're there 5 or 6 years, like, trying as hard as they can, like, you know.
Yeah, and like, you look at it, like, when's the last time, like a minor has come into an intercounty setup and ripped it up? You know, you're probably going back to, you know, what, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. That really doesn't happen anymore.
You're going back even more, I'd say. It doesn't happen anymore. No.
Like, can you imagine, as you were talking about earlier on, like, can you imagine bringing the lad out of minor, say, one an All-Ireland minor, in July with the minors, and then the next thing he's marking like a Kyle Hayes or Dermot Burns from that there, like, it's you know, it's just the matchup's just ridiculous. So like, that's where the game's gone. So physical, and the players now, what, 13, 14 stone, perfectly conditioned athletes, covering what, 12 odd K in a match. So like, in terms of even physical fitness, like it takes players that bit longer now to get to that level.
So you mentioned this is going to be a tough challenge for Galway at the weekend, but it's important as well for a big performance here, considering it is going to be the last home game of the year for Galway.
Oh yeah, like you want to win your home games, like, and they'll be trying to down the marker. And as well, you see, Henry's brought it to a stage now here with the panel that everyone is fighting for positions. You know, there's not much between a lot of the players. There's newer lads coming in, and they're fairly good. Like, they mightn't be good as some of the old guys yet, but they're biting at the bit. And if they get a chance, like, they're going to try to take it. So, like, you know, some of the matches in training and in-house training have been very, very good, very competitive. Like, they have 15 side anytime they want it, and they can't have it every night, maybe once every 9 or 10 days, but it's flat out, flat to the board. Like, and look, they're going to treat, they'll give Antrim all the respect. Like, it's the same as playing Kilkenny to these guys. They're going to try to beat them as much as they can if they're able. The longer they leave Antrim in the game, the better for Antrim. They'll finish strong. They won't throw in the towel. They never do. The longer they're left in the game. So they're trying to be put away early on, but it won't be that easy. But to me now, Antrim are a good bit ahead of Westmeath.
Just on it as well, last week, sir, the Galway Miners winning their first ever Leinster minor title. Their first year, obviously, in Leinster. A terrific performance. They really have looked a step above everyone, but a lot will tell now this weekend against Cork. But like, this minor team does look like a very talented team all over the pitch. Aaron Ireland probably getting a lot of the highlights and deservedly so with his performances. But even the last day, there was other players like Brian Callanan there inside who really stepped up. And really does look like a terrific minor team there at the minute.
Yeah, but Paul, the problem down in Galway isn't the minor teams, because we're producing minors every year. The under 20 team this year that played, they had two minor title wins under their belt. They were all there, and a team that maybe should have won the minor title but didn't. But like, there's a big break. Whatever is happening, there's a breakdown between minor and under 20 in Galway. Definitely, we should be challenging for under 20 titles. We haven't won one for either many years, and we have plenty of minors going through.
Was that down this year though? Do you feel not having the likes of Aleem Collins at under 20 level?
Yeah, well, okay, it didn't help. We have a lot of players, but we're never really going. I'm not blaming anyone, but like, there's something they'll have to look at it. The board will have to look what's happening, because it isn't this year. It's all the year. It's going back years, like, since we won an under 20. Like, with the stuff coming through, you'd imagine. Now, I know it's under 17, but you'd imagine you'll be coming. Look at Offaly this year, going great ones, and like, with a minor team from last year. Most of them are only out of minor. You know, we'd have to be looking at our setup, really, I think, and get our act together in the under 20. The minor, like, they're producing lovely minor. That minor team last year, under 16, they won the A and the B, and it was a 24, so it was like, they knew the team was fairly good coming out, you know what I mean? But they might lack a bit of physical strength, but as regards hurling, they don't lack anything. But that has never been we have plenty of hurlers in Galway. It's just a matter of really kind of getting the best that's out there. Definitely we need the under 20, we need to win a couple of under 20 titles.
I would say that there are these lads. I don't know what your thoughts are in Galway, but I feel we have to go back to even age groups, particularly the 18-year-olds.
Yeah.
Particularly the way the senior game's gone. Like, to me, we're taking minors farther away from senior. And two, like, I can never understand the reason or the rationale. And I know there was a feeling the under 18 was getting killed with games 21 and senior. But if that's the case, decouple it. You can't play senior grade. You know what I mean? And if your club's junior or intermediate, then that could be different, say, you know what I mean? Because they'd be dependent on a good minor. So, like, and funny enough, I was talking to a coach there last week, and they were involved in the FELA. And he said, because they made the FELA now honour 15 as well.
Yeah.
So because they moved to August. And he said to me, you wouldn't believe in the physicality of a 15 and say a brave age of an under 13, you know what I mean? Who'll be in a bad birthday. And say he's gone out of FELA the following year. So, like, you've increased the physicality in FELA, which to me was one of the best competitions that we had. It was a jewel in the crown, honour 14, honour 16, and keeping the minor honour 18. And I just hope, pray to God, that we get back to what the even age groups was, because I feel it's definitely not working, and too many lads are gone missing now at 17 and a half, say, who are not then eligible then to play senior hurling.
Just on this as well, lads, the under 20 rule just seems like utter madness at the minute. Liam Collins obviously wasn't able to play, Cheelan Killeen. You look at all the hurlers, Adam Hogan, the last day for Clare, Owen Downey, the Cork management. But the most mad thing about this is, Cyril, Charlie Mitchell, who's playing with the Offaly under 20s, he's still able to play senior for Offaly because Offaly are in the Joe McDonagh. But like, these players, when they're this young, definitely want to be playing their last year of under 20.
Oh, sir. Look, an under 20 should be playing under 20 if he's eligible to play. And this thing of burnout, they're saying that the top team burnout saved under 20, they can't play for 7 days. And the likes of Offaly, young Mitchell can. Like, in other words, they're treating the Division 2 team, they don't get burned out at all. It's just crazy. I don't think that rule is stand up anywhere, having a competition for under 20s lad play. It's so crazy. I don't know how it passed. I don't know how the lads at the whatever committee they were on, I know they're there to make changes, but good God almighty, when a thing is working, leave it alone. But that one doesn't make sense at all. If, look, at most of these guys are going to college, they're all playing for Skip in a couple of matches a week. Like, and sure, even the senior set up. Like, the matches have been banged off, like the four scores, bang, 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 bang. Well, that's the way it is, because the season is condensed. We're going to have hurling over by the mid-June, all the top hurling, and the pitch is flying, and no one on them. Like, doesn't it look? But the under-20 thing is crazy altogether. And if you look at it closely, that rule that, say, a fella from Galway or Clare or Limerick, wherever he's from, the so-called top counties, can't play senior and under-20, whereas a fella in Division 2 or Division 3, Tier 2 or 3, whatever they call it, they can. So how can they add up that? How do they not have burnout in the second division? Sure, Lord God Almighty, there's no logic to it. It's like a lot of things. To me now, the top echelons of the GA are going to beat away from the grassroots. They don't seem to kind of, I don't know what, take any credence at all of kind of say, you know, what should be happening, I think. They need to get back to the roots of the game and get working again on, you know, even the failure. Like, they're changing rules, they're changing ages. Like, sure, as Gregory says there, a 17-year-old, like, you know, he's not even, he's a weak individual yet. Like, so he's not ready at all, even for under 20. You know, it doesn't add up.
I don't know, have you been affected by this rule, Gregory, in Antrim? But I presume, I could see there when I was mentioning you were shaking the head, and there just is this annoyance with this rule.
Yeah, look, Jesus, like, keep it simple, you know, that's the saying, like, you know, so, to me, they're punishing the player, like, Cyril touched on it there, like, if you're playing for Skibbon Cup with your college, and then the National League's running, sure, who cares if you're playing every week, 2 and 3 games a week, yet, well, then, when it comes to a major competition, say, an under 20, and he's made the senior panel, and all of a sudden then say, no, you can't be part of that there. Like, what other sport punishes, you know, talent like that there? And sure, like lads want to play. Like, they don't want to train. They want to play games. They want to play high-profile games. And for a lad, then there's an incentive then the other way. For a 20 then to really push on and expose himself, say to the senior management, well, then there's incentive for him to get picked and get into maybe a 24-man panel, maybe a 26-man, and then maybe make the team. So, like, to me, to punish the player, to punish the talent they got there, it's just a crazy, crazy decision.
Yeah, it's really one. And you could even see Ben Cunningham frustration the last
game. Yeah.
And
Yep, absolutely. And he touched on it where he couldn't play with his lads, you know, because they were tied up. So, like, it was you're denying the age group they're playing with, and you're also then, because he's a talented player, then he's losing out because he's capable then of going on and playing senior.
Yeah, you're really hoping something can be done next year for this role, because it's just complete and utter madness at the minute. That's all we do have time for on our podcast for this evening. Thanks to everyone for listening. And if you are listening, don't forget to subscribe to the channel. And thanks a million to Gregory O'Kane and Sarah Farrell for coming on this week's podcast.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks. Gregory.
The Backdoor GA podcast for 2023 is now brought to you by Steed Motor Group. For your personalised vehicle shopping experience, visit steedmotorgroup.ie. We are now delighted to announce our second sponsor of the podcast. Harper Findlay are a professional service recruitment company operating nationwide and are dedicated to helping people find their dream job.